Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie!
No.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Broadcasting live from Denver, Colorado, you're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown, and I'm really glad to have you doing that. If you want to engage in the program, the easiest way to do it is send me a text message on your message app. The number to use is 33103, 33103. Start your message with the word Mike or Michael, either one. Go follow me on X. It's at Michael Brown USA. So this hour, there's, you can listen to me during the week, Monday through Friday, from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on 630 KHOW in Denver, which you can find on your iHeart app. You can find on your computer. Just search for 630 KHOW. It's The Situation with Michael Brown. But whenever I get to the Saturday program, of course, there's stuff that occurs, Friday after I go off air. And then there are all the things that I didn't get to during the week. And this hour is kind of a potpourri of those things that you may have missed, or which I would say maybe you didn't miss it. Maybe they didn't tell you. And some of them are pretty sad, and some of them are kind of sad and funny, and some are just plain funny. But did you know that a judge, a United Nations judge, I didn't know the UN had judges, but United Nations judge claimed diplomatic immunity after she was being accused of taking part in modern slavery. Now, she's since been convicted by a British court. But this woman, Lydia Mugambi, she's 49 years old. As I said, a UN judge. She's actually been convicted in a British court for offenses tied to modern slavery. The Thames Valley police arrested her at her residence. She was charged under what they call the Modern Slavery Act. Let me just pause for a moment and remind everybody that, whenever Black Lives Matter, or for that matter, anybody in Congress, Maxine Waters or anybody else, starts screaming about reparations, ask them what they would like to do about modern day slavery. Yeah, whether it's the cartels that put women and children, for that matter, men, into either sex slaves or working slaves or whatever it might be. But modern-day slavery does exist. Are we going to pay reparations for those? How about we just eliminate slavery? How about we do that and recognize that in this country we fought a civil war to eliminate slavery, even passed a constitutional amendment? But anyway, this woman gets arrested somewhere near London, the Thames Valley, charged under the Modern Slavery Act. Now, while she was getting arrested, she claimed diplomatic immunity, saying that she's not a criminal and that she had immunity because of her position as a judge in her home country of Uganda. Now, did you catch all of that? She's somehow a judge for the United Nations, which is headquartered in New York, but I know has offices all over the world. But she claims diplomatic immunity while in the United Kingdom, stating that she's can't be arrested because of her position as a judge in her home country of Uganda. So she claims to be what's called a UN judge, but she's a citizen of Uganda that's somehow living, or for some reason living in the United Kingdom, working for a organization that's headquartered in the United States. The charges against Mugambi include conspiracy to breach British immigration laws. Oh, so she violated those too. Facilitating travel with an objective of exploitation. Oh, sounds like the cartels. And conspiracy to intimidate a witness, the slave. She was found guilty of forcing a young woman to work for her as a domestic servant in the UK. Upon arrival in Britain, the victim was compelled to serve as a maid, provide child care, and then she had restrictions placed on her freedom to choose her work. She could not control her identification documents. In other words, this dirtbag sees this woman's passport or her ID papers. And so she didn't have any choice but to comply with Mugabe's demands. How's this different from slavery, say, in the 1800s, when we would just, but when slave traders, when blacks would just pluck other blacks out of some crap hole African country, put them on a slave ship, and take them to the United Kingdom or to the colonies, and just sell them into slavery. Here we are, and today I'm broadcasting live on Saturday, March 15, 2025. And the exact same thing happened here. She plucks a woman out of Uganda, a crap hole African country, transports her to, I assume against her will, or under false pretenses of some sort. Oh yeah, come with me, and you can live with me, and we'll find you a job and all of this. I mean, either way, gets her to the United Kingdom, takes away her passport, forces her into slave labor. She can't leave the house. She has to do all this domestic work. She's a maid. By the way, the judge is black too. This woman is black. So it's black on black slavery. You know, modern slavery has become a real significant problem in this country and in the United Kingdom. There's a report back from 2022 that claimed that the number of people victimized by modern slavery is the highest since records began. Highest since records began. That story's over at Breitbart. It says, United Kingdom sees highest spike in alleged victims of modern slavery since records began. The number of alleged victims of modern slavery in the United Kingdom reported to authorities in the country has hit an all-time high, according to the documents that they've discovered. According to the data published, 4,171 potential victims of modern slavery were reported to the Home Office, that's like our Department of Homeland Security, in the second quarter of 2022, ranging from dates of April 1 to June 30. That is the highest quarterly number recorded by the government ministry since it began its national referral mechanism for modern slavery in 2009. And here's an example of it. Simply unbelievable.
So unfortunately, I'm going to have to now arrest you on suspicion of keeping somebody in slavery and servitude under the Modern Slavery Act. So you don't have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention my question. Something which later on in court,
officer,
anything you do say may be used as evidence. All right. Sorry.
I am a judge in my country. I even have immunity. I am not a criminal.
You've got immunity in this country.
Yes. I have a diplomatic passport.
You're a diplomat?
Yes.
So we'll need to see that then?
Yes.
And then we'll need to speak to the embassy if you are a diplomat.
I came here as a student. I don't need her to work for me. I didn't come with her. She asked me, because she has worked at my home before, she asked me.
Oh, see? Isn't it fascinating? Somebody ought to go to the United Nations and ask, who is this woman and what's she doing here and how did this happen? My daughter just happens to be in Alaska right now visiting some family. And I brought this to her attention. And I, just as a joke, she'll be fine. But what will the environmentalists do? Because scientists are now issuing warnings about potential volcanic eruptions at two sites, including one near Anchorage, the largest city in Alaska, Mount Spur, about 80 miles west of the city, is starting to exhibit heightened volcanic gas emissions. And then aerial surveys have documented all this increased activity. Meanwhile, Mount Adams in Washington State is under even closer scrutiny because it's been experiencing a series of minor earthquakes toward the end of last year. It's a 12,000-foot volcano. It poses a significant risk because of potential for landslides and mudslides, particularly for all the residents that are in South Central Washington. So think about that. What will the environmentalists do then? This is The Weekend with Michael Brown. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
Oh, that's awful, huh?
My brother got life insurance from Ethos and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/today. ethos.com/today.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
Why pay more for prescriptions? Stop overpaying and start saving with SingleCare. It's easy. Find your prescription on SingleCare.com. Show the coupon at the pharmacy and start saving. SingleCare works at pharmacies nationwide and is completely free to use, whether you have insurance or not. So the next time you fill a prescription, check SingleCare to make sure you're getting the best price. Take control of your prescription costs. Go to singlecare.com or download the free app today.
Welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Sincerely am. Be sure and follow me on X. It's at Michael Brown USA. Go do that right now. Follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. And on your podcast app, be sure and subscribe to this show, The Situation with Michael Brown, The Situation with Michael Brown. Once you find that, you search for that, find it, hit subscribe. That will automatically down all 5 days of the weekday program, plus give you the weekend program. So now you get all the Michael Brown you need. This story that seems to be getting glossed over really bugs me. This is one of the tidbits that I think that the cabal is by omission and commission trying to mislead you about. They keep pushing this, that there's going to be a demonstration on the National Mall, and it's being organized by something called the 14th Now organization, and the cabal describes it as a veterans march. Now, if I tell you a veterans march, what do you think of? Well, I think of old World War II vets in wheelchairs being pushed down the National Mall. I think of, you know, Vietnam, Korea, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan, all of the, you know, Syria, all the different places of them being, you know, walking down the mall. Then it's veterans. But it's not a veterans march at all. The organizer, 14th Now, that's not a veterans group. But that doesn't keep the cabal and outlets like Newsweek and others from telling you, oh, but it is, it is. Now, why would they tell you that when it's clearly not? Well, 14th Now is a political group. It was started by someone by the name of Jessica Denson. She worked on the 2016 Trump campaign. She was a political staffer. I'd say she was way down the totem pole. She had a very minor role, but she was able to parlay that role into a media darling for the left, and she started fundraising for her 14th group, 14th Now group. Now, she's not a veteran. She's actually a failed Hollywood actress who was accused by her supervisor during the 2016 Trump campaign of being the one that leaked Trump's tax returns. So since then, she's been holding these small protests in D.C., demanding that Congress use the 14th Amendment to keep Trump out of office. Now, as I have previously said on a bazillion shows, Trump was never convicted of insurrection, which is a prerequisite for the use of the 14th Amendment. And the United States Supreme Court has ruled that Trump is not disqualified under that constitutional provision. Colorado, right here, my stupid home state, is one of those states that pursued that vacuous legal strategy. But simply put, what's being billed as a veterans march? Not at all. She's not a veteran. Her only connection to veterans, the now DC march has, is that she and her organization are asking veterans to join them. So at best, what Denson and 14th Now are doing is just another political grift. It's kind of a bizarre attempt at stolen valor. Let me tell you what I think. Whenever you see veterans marching in Washington, for me anyway, or I see veterans getting off a plane at Reagan National or Dulles, and they're going into the nation's capital, it really stirs something in me. Because I think, particularly if they're the older guys, which now includes not just the Vietnam guys, but the Korean guys and the Vietnam guys, but I often think at some point they're going to go to the memorials. They're going to look at the memorials. They're going to look for their buddies' names. They're going to, like my dad did one time, walk through the Korean memorial and kind of wander off by himself and relive those memories. Or they're going to go to the World War II memorial. They're going to do all of these things. And then maybe they're going to go see some congressmen. Maybe they're going to take a tour of the White House. But they've come to the place that is the seat of government that sent them off to war. And so it's usually a pretty emotional thing for them, and it's certainly an emotional thing for me anyway when I see them. While the now DC organizing website, they use stock photos. Everything from King's March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. They're doing everything they can to try to portray themselves as this being a veterans march. She's even evoked the image of Marine Corps General Smedley Butler and his bonus army and that march on Washington, D.C. What is that? Well, back in 1932, Butler led nearly 50,000, including 20,000 World War I veterans, in a march on Washington to demand service certificates be paid out early because the Great Depression at that time had left so many veterans out of work. Then when Congress adjourned and didn't take action on those demands, the Bonus Army occupied the National Mall for over a month until they were dispersed in a cavalry charge led by none other than General Douglas MacArthur. But, and I don't know what the answer is, why would the media continue to claim that this is some sort of veterans march when we know, in fact, that it is not? Because that's what the media does. Speaking of the media, Newsmax, which is going public, I think, this week or next week, has agreed to pay $40 million to Smartmatic, the voting machine company. They've settled, this stems from a lawsuit back in 2020 about the 2020 presidential election. The settlement was revealed for the first time in regulatory filings by Newsmax, who is wanting to go public. They filed it last year, and the settlement resolves claims that were made by Smartmatic, which accused Newsmax of falsely reporting that its voting machines had been used to manipulate election results in favor of Sleepy Joe. The agreement was finalized back in September. Smartmatic is getting a cash payment and some options so they can buy stock in Newsmax. Now, so far, Newsmax has paid out about $20 million, and the remainder is due before July. And in the filing, Newsmax expressly states to the SEC and potential investors the expectation that fulfilling the financial terms of the settlement will stop all further legal costs, including any potential appeals. Now, last year, Newsmax did admit in a public statement as part of their settlement agreement that the court declared allegations about Smartmatic's involvement in altering election outcome to be false. It's not the first defamation case faced by Smartmatic. One American News, same thing. Fox News, another one. Wow. It's never going to end. So Weekend with Michael Brown. I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
IZERVAY or Avacincaptad Pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie! Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. Be sure and follow me on X. It's at Michael Brown USA, at Michael Brown USA. Go give me a follow right now. So we have had a seemingly, I'm always a little hesitant, a little reticent to talk about the number of air traffic incidents. Primarily because anytime there's an air traffic incident, it seems to get a lot of media attention, and I understand why. For example, we had an American Airlines flight that departed yesterday, Friday, for Colorado Springs. I mean, from Colorado Springs to Dallas. But on the way, not shortly after takeoff from Colorado Springs, the pilot declares an emergency. You can hear there's all sorts of audio about it. He declares an emergency, Mayday, and turns around and diverts back north to Denver to land at Denver International Airport. And I assume he went back to Denver because he knew that the emergency facilities and obviously American Airlines might have equipment and stuff there. So it would be easier to get back there than to land in Colorado Springs and then have a plane where they got to move people to the plane as opposed to taking the plane to where the people are. But I digress. It's getting wall-to-wall coverage in Denver because there was some sort of shaking going on. An engine problem of some sort. They land safely, taxi to the gate, and as they pull into the gate and come to a stop, the right engine blows up. I mean, literally blows up. Boom. And, of course, Jet A spreads out and starts to burn, and there's a fire and smoke, and people start evacuating the plane. They start, you know, going down the slide. Some are standing on the wing. It's great visuals if you're in the news media. Great visuals. You had the plane, the jet crash in Philadelphia. Obviously, you had the Potomac River helicopter and the regional jet crash. So all of these get a lot of media attention. But what bothers me about all of the media attention is, without thinking or really analyzing it, people jump to, oh, it's because of DEI in the air traffic control system. And too many air traffic controllers are diversity hires. I don't know whether that's true or not. But here's what I do know. There have been so many air traffic incidents lately, near misses, things like what happened in Denver, that fear of flying is actually pushing down ticket sales somewhat. But those that are investigating why might want to follow up on a clue from a decade ago. I want to introduce you to Shelton Snow. He's a real powerful figure in the National Black Coalition of Federal Aviation Employees. Yeah, that's the name of the union, I guess it would be. The National Black Coalition of Federal Aviation Employees. Well, the Daily Mail, in a shocking audio clip, he can be heard promising advanced access to test answers. You'll hear it in just a second. But he says at one point, there are some valuable pieces of information that I have taken a screenshot of, and I'm going to send that to you via email. I'm about 99.99% sure that it is exactly how you need to answer each question. This goes back 11 years. This insider information was made available in 2014 to African Americans, females, and minority candidates. But whites were left out of the loop in order to, in his words, minimize competition. Now, if you're a dumbass that thinks that race trumps everything, including public safety, or if you are a Democrat, but maybe I repeat myself, this message that you're going to hear was recorded just weeks after the Federal Aviation Administration announced the biggest hiring shakeup in its history, when Obama was president and they were pushing to, quote, widen the aperture for women and minorities. I give you Mr. Shelton Snow.
It's been a really busy time for me these past 4 days. I know that each of you are eager, very eager, to apply for this job vacancy announcement. And trust, after tonight, you will be able to do so. I am asking that you give me another 15 or 16 hours. Allow me to go to work and come home, provide you with an email that will be extremely crucial in the opening stages of this hiring process. There are some valuable pieces of information that I have taken a screenshot of, and I'm going to send that to you via email. Trust and believe it will be something that you will appreciate to the utmost. Keep in mind, we are trying to maximize your opportunities, and I'm doing the very best that I can with the time that I'm given. Today, when I get off at 11 o'clock, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to finish out that email. I'm going to send it to each of you. And as you progress through the stages, refer to those images so that you will know which icons you should select. Now, I have a good mind to send it to one of my HR representatives first and give them the opportunity to sign off on it before you actually click it. But in the sake of time, I'm going to send it directly to you because I'm a...
In the sake of time, and because I'm afraid that my HR rep may actually say, wait a minute, this is cheating. You can't do this. So in the sake of time, I think I'll just send it to you directly.
About 99.99% sure that it's exactly how you need to answer each question in order to get through the first phase. People have been getting rejection notices, and those rejection notices have been coming after about 24 to 36 hours after clicking submit. And I want to avoid that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take our time and we're going to make sure that everything that we click on, and you're going to even have to go back to your resume and make some changes because one of our members and I have caught something, and we want to go back and we want to fine tune those details. And I guarantee that will give us the very best feeling that we could ever get in applying for this job. VRAs, those that have received tentative offer letters, we want you to apply for this job anyway. Messages came back saying do not give the agency an opportunity to say they never gave you one. So apply for it anyway. For everyone else, stand by to stand by. Later on this evening when I get home, I'm going to finish those emails, and then I'm going to go back to planning for the Black History Month program. And then I'm going to process all new members' enrollment forms. And then I'm going to send out my emails to the managers of the FAA regional headquarters and thanking them for my visit. And then I'm going to get back to handling some important business for the VRAs. I think we may have an opportunity, VRAs, to do something that others probably would find impossible. I found that answer talking to people in HR. So give me an opportunity to do what I need to do this evening, and I guarantee after that you will be able to apply for this job. Thanks a lot. God bless.
Now, there you have it. Draw your conclusion as you will. I don't know. It's 11 years old. So I don't know whether you can still draw a causal link between that DEI activity back in 2014, in which Obama was specifically trying to expand women and minorities into the air traffic control system, or not. But it certainly makes you pause and think, doesn't it? And it certainly makes you realize that when anybody tells you that there is no DEI hiring going on when it comes to air traffic controllers, that the ATC system is all about merit, is all about meritocracy and making sure that we have the very best people, that absolutely throws cold water right there on the fire. Or throws gas on the fire. Whichever metaphor you want to use. It's freaking unbelievable. Now, I've been trying to ascertain whether or not this guy still works for the FAA. I've been trying to ascertain whether or not he's still an air traffic controller or not. But immaterial. The damage is done. DEI may or may not, and quite frankly, I think in many of these cases, DEI has nothing to do with some of these traffic accidents. But nonetheless, it shows how insidious DEI is and the extent to which some people will go to cheat the system and use whatever racial identities they can, whatever verticals of identity politics the Democrats think that you ought to be put into, that they will use to get into a position of authority, power, work, whatever you want to describe it, based on absolutely artificial means as opposed to merit. That has to come to an end. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text anything you want to this number, 33103. Just use keywords Mike or Michael. I'll be right back.
Hey, it's big. Rob Schmidt recently beat CNN in key ratings, as millions are tuning into Newsmax. Every night, Rob Schmidt is on Newsmax, revealing the truth about Elon Musk's Doge. Tune in tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern and find out why Rob is the hottest person in cable news. Even President Trump is watching, and he says Newsmax is terrific. Reuters Institute reports that Newsmax is now one of the top news brands in America. Find out why. Just check out Newsmax on your cable system. Get Rob Schmidt with Greta Van Susteren, Rob Finnerty, and much more. Download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone or home TV to start watching. It takes just seconds. With Newsmax Plus, you can watch our great shows anytime. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com and start your free trial. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. Make the switch to Newsmax today.
up the week with Michael Brown. Really glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. I know that Saturdays the people have got a lot of things to do, so if you take the time out to either listen to the program live or a replay of the program or the podcast of the program, whatever you do, I really do appreciate it. And anything you can do to help us spread the word about what we do on Saturdays, by all means, do that. It's greatly appreciated by me. And don't forget, you can always send me a text message, day or night. I read them all the time. I'm constantly reading text messages. And I appreciate your comments, questions. I don't always and can't answer all of them, but sometimes it'll lead to topics or lead to me changing my mind about something. So don't forget to do that. The text line number is 33103. Just use the keyword Mike or Michael. And then do me a favor and follow me on X, at Michael Brown USA, at Michael Brown USA. The United States Senate, the world's greatest deliberative body, has overwhelmingly passed something called the Halt Fentanyl Act. It was Senate Resolution 331. That law permanently designates fentanyl-related substances as Schedule I drugs in the Controlled Substances Act. A total of 84 senators backed the legislation. It was sponsored by Bill Cassidy, a Republican senator from Louisiana, who also happens to be a doctor. But I'm scratching my head. 16 Democrats inexplicably voted against the measure. Now, I don't know, the reason for their opposition is either blind partisanship, like anything that Republicans have to be for, we have to be against, or it's an example of their embrace of soft-on-crime policies. The Democrats that opposed the final passage of this act, Osselbrook from Maryland, Blunt Rochester from Delaware, Booker, of course, from New Jersey, Tammy Duckworth from Illinois, Hirano from Hawaii, Ed Markey from Massachusetts, Merkley from Oregon, Murphy from Connecticut, Padilla from California, Sanders from Vermont, Adam Shifty Schiff from California, Van Hollen from Maryland, Warnock, crazy guy from Georgia, Pocahontas Warren from Massachusetts, Peter Welch from Vermont, and Ron Wyden from Oregon. That's a list of some of the most progressive, soft on crime, socialist Marxists in the entire United States Senate. Now, Senator Cassidy's bill, now on its way to the House of Representatives, it'll probably pass with bipartisan support there. It upgrades punishment for so-called fentanyl-related substances and aligns that to be parallel with the penalties applied to fentanyl analogs, meaning the components. Now, notably, penalties for offenses involving 100 grams or more of fentanyl analogs carries a minimum sentence of 10 years in prison. The federal mandatory minimum sentence is likely the reason why most of the 16 Democrats opposed the bill. Although, when you think about some of those names, the influence of Chinese Communist Party agents can't be fully discounted. Why would I even allege that? Well, Chinese chemical and pharmaceutical companies illicitly export hundreds of kilograms of fentanyl precursor chemicals to this country every single month. In February, several executives with the Wuhan, China-based Hubei Aox biotech company were indicted by federal prosecutors for illegally importing fentanyl precursors into this country. In October of last year, 8 Chinese companies and their employees were indicted for similar crimes in Florida. It is astonishing, it shouldn't be, but it is, astonishing to me that those 16 Democrats would oppose this bill. Yesterday, I forget what news outlet I was watching, but there was Pam Bondi and some others talking about fentanyl. And they had a kilogram or something. Whatever amount they had was enough to kill 90 million Americans. 90 million Americans. Do you not understand what the Chinese Communist Party is doing? They've got a business relationship. They've got a partnership. They've got a joint venture, if you will, with the Mexican drug cartels. That basically says, we'll provide you all the precursors you need to manufacture fentanyl. You can go out into your lab somewhere in Mexico and create fentanyl, and then you just take it into the U.S. and just kill as many Americans as you can. Make some of the pills where they're where they look like, you know, a Xanax, or they look like a clonazepam, or they look like some other controlled substance that kids and teenagers or the, you know, housewives of Beverly Hills might go buy because, you know, they just need to relax or whatever, and we can kill them. They're literally killing our people. And these 16 Democrats will see none of it. Unbelievable to me. One last story in this potpourri that I think is interesting, just to remind you of how good we have it. I've always wanted to go to Havana, Cuba, before the death of Raul Castro, and they actually turn into a capitalist country. I want to see the beautiful beaches. I want to see the old cars. I want to see Havana as it is now. But they've succumbed to communism. So if you go, if you want to go with me, we'll have to take our own electricity. As those who require government services may be required to do. This is freaking hilarious. Cuban government offices in the city of Cabarian were only receiving individuals who bring their own electricity in the form of power generators amid Cuba's near-endless blackouts, according to a Madrid-based outlet, Diario de Cuba, reporting this past week. Cuba's derelict power grid, which we're not far behind if we don't wake up, has already forced Cubans to live through daily near-endless blackouts in recent years, completely collapsed several times towards the end of last year. Now, they're being propped up by Venezuela, but this goes well with the communist motto of, well, let them eat ideology. Given that tens of millions of people have died of starvation under communist regimes, you and I go to Cuba, we might also want to bring a sack lunch. This is such a great example of the perils of communism that keeps getting shoved down our throats in this country. We don't even have to look over to Russia or to China. We can just go to the Florida Keys and look 90 miles to our south. Everybody have a great weekend. I'll see you next Saturday.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Why pay more for prescriptions? Stop overpaying and start saving with SingleCare. It's easy. Find your prescription on SingleCare.com, show the coupon at the pharmacy, and start saving. SingleCare works at pharmacies nationwide and is completely free to use, whether you have insurance or not. So the next time you fill a prescription, check SingleCare to make sure you're getting the best price. Take control of your prescription costs. Go to SingleCare.com or download the free app today.
The man who called the crash of 87, the bottom of the financial crisis, the COVID crash, and the second biggest bank failure in history just took the stage for a shocking new tell-all event, which could be calamitous for the market. Mason Sexton just revealed what he sees coming in the next 2 weeks and what you can do today to prepare. To watch it now for free, go to Disruption2025.com. That's Disruption2025.com. Paid for by Paradigm Press.
Experience glowing wild and illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay Exploration Park in Redding, California. Open select nights April 4th through June 8th, 7 to 10 p.m. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with Asian lanterns inspired by plants and animals from around the world. Plus food, drinks, live performances on select nights, and much more. Don't miss Turtle Bay's Glowing Wild Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Join Token's radio show every Tuesday night starting at 6 on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as hosts Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Tokens Radio Show with Linda and Christy Tuesday nights at 6 on...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.